Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for the Wilmington, Ohio Church of Christ. We pray that this message will inspire you and help you grow closer to God in your faith. Be sure to stick around after the message to find out more about how you can take your next best step. Enjoy the message.
In January 2009, Flight 1549 left LaGuardia Airport in New York City to head to North Carolina. And not too long into the flight, they hit a flock of geese. Now, one goose in an engine is not very healthy, but a whole flock of geese into the plane on both engines is deadly. Both engines on Flight 1549 immediately stalled and stopped and blew up. So Captain Chesley Sullenberger III and his co-pilot had moments to make the right decision. First decision they have to make, where to try to put the plane down. Remember, they're flying out of New York City. So there are a couple of roads that are maybe big enough to support a plane landing, but they're filled with cars. So Sully decided to put the plane down in the river. There was a couple of decisions he had to make following that. Number one, they had to shut down the engines that were now on fire to get the engine fires to go out. Number two, they had to turn the nose down on the plane to develop enough speed to be able to glide to their stopping destination. Number three, they had to shut down all of the autopilot and automated systems that make planes stay in the air. Number four, they had to enable the emergency ditch system that closes all the vents in the plane to make it as watertight as possible. Then they had to glide with enough speed and power to make a left-hand turn so they'll be flowing, landing with the flow of the river instead of against the river. And then, right before they land, they have to get that nose up so that they land flat. All of that took moments. This was the perfect combination. Oh, by the way, if you haven't heard that story or seen that movie, he landed it safely and was able to walk down the aisles of the plane looking for, making sure everybody was off before he himself got into the water, which he then valiantly took off his shirt and handed it to somebody who was freezing. Pretty incredible. The perfect combination of circumstance, God's providence that he had on the plane, a pilot who was also a glide instructor, training, God's providence, and maybe miraculous intervention, the perfect combination, all of those things put together in that one moment where it was needed. Today, we are going to look at how we can become that type of Christian. The Christ follower, the disciple of Jesus, that has the perfect amount of good, healthy, maturity, training, the perfect amount of growth, the perfect amount of God underscoring, underlying us with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we will be able to respond with maturity to any type of situation, any type of emergency, any type of crisis, any type of pleasant environment, like Jesus would respond if he was living in our shoes. Let's pray and ask God to help us with that today. God, we ask today that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit again. Fill us up again, Lord, that we may be changed and transformed into completely new disciples of Christ. Give us a fresh experience with Jesus so that we can be changed. Allow the Holy Spirit to take the scripture we're going to look at today and complete your work within us. God, continue to grow us up into Jesus Christ so that we may be mature disciples, so that we may continue to press on toward the goal which we have not obtained yet, to be transformed, to be like your Son, Jesus Christ, in character and in mission. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've had several baptisms the last couple of weeks, and you just saw one earlier today. In just a moment, we're going to play a video of another one we had last Tuesday. Hold on. But there is a question. When people come up out of the water and they get baptized, they then say the question, what next? What next? Let me show you this baptism we had Tuesday. Barb Little, she called Tuesday morning. She said, my brother's in town. I said, remind me of your brother's name. We've been praying for him. She said, Gary Hammond, 78 years old, committed his life to Christ last Tuesday. Would you turn your attention to the screen so you can watch this?
This is Gary Hammond, and the water's freezing. Gary, would you repeat after me the good confession Peter made?
I believe
that Jesus is the Christ.
Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
Gary, because of your confession, what's in your heart, what you want to do, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Turn around this way. Grab on.
It is never too late to give your life to Christ. 78 years old, but now he has a question. It doesn't matter if you're 8 years old. It doesn't matter if you're 78 years old. You have to ask the question, what next? Because we don't want to get in the mindset of like, we get baptized and then we just have to wait to die to go to heaven. There is usually a time in between there where we need to grow up in Jesus. What next? Or some people ask the question, isn't there more to my Jesus life than just showing up church on Sunday morning and checking the box? I've done that. I've seen that show. I've heard Dale preach. I don't need that anymore. Is there something more? And yes, there is. Yes, there is. In fact, Jesus calls us to maturity. Jesus calls us to grow up in Jesus. He says, don't stay where you are when I found you. He said, I found you and saved you so that you can get cleaned up, so that you can grow up. And then Peter, James, John, the author of Hebrews, every single author in Scripture, every single book of Scripture seems to indicate that we are supposed to continue to grow in maturity. One of those passages is in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul gives the instructions to Christians who are young in their faith to continue to mature in their faith. Last week we had this chart where we said you're a seeker or a believer. There was a dividing line between those outside of Jesus and those inside of Jesus. But once you got inside of Jesus, that made you a baby in the faith, and you're supposed to grow up to be an adult, and then you're supposed to grow up to be a parent in the faith. You grow up to be a worker in the faith, and you grow up to be a disciple maker in the faith. And there's a dangerous thing for this, is we get stuck in one of those immature areas of faith, and we never grow up in Jesus. We never grow up in our faith. What that means, and this is dangerous, what that means is you can go to church for years. You can read the Bible cover to cover. You can show up and work in activities and still be an immature Christian if you are not growing up in Jesus. That's a scary place to be. So Paul says it this way. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Now, I know we're supposed to memorize all the Bible, but anytime somebody in the Bible says, this is a trustworthy saying, I think he's kind of emphasizing that's something we need to put in our minds, get in our minds, let it sink into our heart and become part of our being. What is the trustworthy saying? Train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The training in godliness has value now and later. The training in godliness has value in where you are in your circumstances now and whatever your circumstances might turn into until you see Jesus Christ. There is usually a big gap between being raised out of the water, a new creation, and then meeting Jesus face to face. And in between that gap is the opportunity to grow in Jesus. And it's not a straight shot. It's a process where we fall down, we stumble, we take steps backward, we take steps forward. We climb the ladder sometimes, and sometimes we just fall. But it is a process of growth. Train yourself to be godly. Train there is exactly what it sounds like. Effort. Striving. You have a goal, and you set it out there, and then you say, what are the steps that I need to take to get to that goal? And then you make those steps a habit. Train. It's like you apprentice yourself to Jesus. You say, Jesus, whatever you do, I'm going to follow your example. Whatever you say, I'm going to obey your commands. In fact, John, one of Jesus' best friends, says, you only really love Jesus if you obey his commands. And if you don't obey his commands, you can question whether you love Jesus, whether you're a disciple, whether you're actually saved. Train. Apprentice to Jesus. Follow him. Obey him. Godliness is another way to say holiness, or it's another way to say, I have become like Jesus. And we're supposed to always strive with effort to become like Jesus. And I'm so glad that God gives us that goal of having character transformation, and he tells us the habits, the steps, some people call them the spiritual disciplines that we have to train ourselves in to get to godliness, but he doesn't leave us alone to train by ourselves. I am currently a karate instructor, but I'm not the head instructor. I have someone who is more experienced and is more learned than me in martial arts. In fact, we have several people in our dojo that are more experienced and more learned than me. And I love that I get to go to them for training, and then I get to pass on the training to someone else. First is our head instructor. His name is Dal Tippett. And he does some things in karate and martial arts that I cannot do. He just flows so quickly through some of the moves. One time, we had pretend knives, and we were knife fighting. And Dal is not really good with knives. And let's just say I took care of him. And he said, forget this, let's go again. He threw his knife down, and I moved in to pretend stab him. And all of a sudden, my arm was twisted around behind me, and he had made me drop my knife. And I said, what happened? He goes, I'm a lot better with just empty hand. I said, let's try again. And he twisted me up again. We have another instructor. His name is Jack. He looks like Santa Claus if Santa Claus was a ninja and could rip your throat out. And Jack is a former police officer, and he had to actually put the martial arts instructions into practice when he was on the force. And so what he comes along with real-world experience where he tells me, Dale, that really does work in the field where you have to defend your life. And so I know what I'm doing is valuable. I know what I'm doing has value here and now. But I need somebody to train me. And so when God gives us the instructions, the spiritual disciplines, which I'm going to get to in just a second, the habits we need to develop, he doesn't leave us alone to do it by ourselves, but he provides the example in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, when he ascended, he said, I'm going to give you a helper, the Holy Spirit, that's going to help you. And he gives us what's called the Bible, which is our guidebook. He gives us help so we don't do it alone. John Ortberg, in his book entitled The Life You've Always Wanted, Spiritual Disciplines for Ordinary People, he says the training that we undergo, training toward godliness, is the difference between a power boat or a sailboat, a boat with an engine, a speedboat, or a sailboat. He said you can strive with all of your might. You can put the gas in, you can turn the motor on, and you can strive with all your might for the goal. But he said under that scenario, you will end up going in circles on your own power. But he said, if you're in a sailboat with God, you have the effort to hoist the sail. You have the effort to point the tiller. You have the effort to enable the sail where it will catch the wind. But he said, God is the Holy Spirit and wind that powers your growth, that gives you the exact speed you need to go to grow up in Jesus. He doesn't leave you alone, even though he tells you the things, the efforts that you're supposed to do. I like that. I like having somebody to come alongside me and train me, even though I know some of the steps to take in training. Discipleship is being with another person under the appropriate conditions where we can learn from them and become like them. This is Jesus. If we want to be like Jesus, if we want to grow up to be Jesus, if we want to grow in our character and in our mission, we have to be with Jesus. And there are certain habits that the scripture describes that will allow us to train ourselves in godliness, which has value both for now and later, which has value both for your circumstances now and value when you get to heaven. But it allows us to train in godliness now. Here is some letters that you can memorize to help you know the baseline training, the baseline habits that you need to develop. There are habits that are bad habits, and there are habits that are good habits. There are habits that, believe it or not, if you put one habit, it ends up affecting your whole life. Charles Duhigg, in his book, The Power of Habit, he said there are things called keystone habits, is how he describes it. Habits that, if you put them into practice, that unintentionally bleed over into every aspect of life. A habit like that would be, if you decide to exercise and eat right, if you make that a habit, can't you see how that would affect every area of your life? If you want to play with your kids or you want to play with your grandkids and all of a sudden you've lost a whole bunch of weight and you don't get out of breath and you're able to move because your joints don't hurt as much, and then you say, well, what happened? Well, I started this habit of eating right and exercising about 9 months ago, and I didn't see it the first week, and I didn't see it the second week, and I didn't see it the third week, but that fourth week I started noticing some changes. And after 9 months has gone by and there's a habit there, man, I can really get up and move with my kids and grandkids. See, it's a keystone habit. Well, Jesus, the scripture, God gives us habits that if we start applying them, they become keystone habits that affect every part of our life. And here's some letters to help you know what these habits are that you need to develop to train yourself in godliness, to be like Jesus Christ. S-C-P, S-C-D. Now, really, you only have to memorize four letters because the S and the C are the same, and the P and the D are different. S-C-P, S-C-D. Anybody want to try it? S-C-P, S-C-D. Now, I know you got the words behind you, right? The letters behind you. Okay, take that off the screen. Let's try it without those on the screen. Okay, here we go. S-C-P, S-C-D. Now, here's what they stand for. S, study scripture. C, commit to community. P, prioritize prayer. Okay, we start again. S, seek solitude. C, choose church. And D, develop disciples. S, C, P, S, C, D. These are scriptural habits that Jesus practiced. He gave an example to his disciples. And if we want to become like Jesus, we need to act like Jesus. If we want to become like Jesus, we need to spend time with Jesus. And these are habits that he gave us, that gave the whole church, that if we put these habits into practice, we spend time with Jesus. There's an author named Stephen James, and he said when he was in high school, there was this really cool kid on the football team that everybody looked up to. And so he got on the football team so he could be like this kid. And then one day after practice, he said it happened. This kid invited a whole bunch of other ones, he was the popular kid, to go hang out after practice. And he said, oh, I get to go hang out. And he started spending more and more time with this popular kid. And as he spent time with this popular kid, he began to dress like him and talk like him. He even got his hair cut like him. He was becoming like the person he was hanging out with. These habits that Jesus gives us allow us to spend time with Jesus, and the goal is to become like Jesus. And if you want to be like Jesus, you got to spend time with Jesus. The first one is study Scripture. Study Scripture. Now, in John chapter 5, Jesus says, he's talking to the Pharisees, and they're having a little give and go, but he says this thing about the Scripture. He says, these are the very Scriptures that testify about me. He said to the Pharisees, you all are studying the Scripture. You think it's going to give you salvation, but if you would have the right goal in mind while you study the Scriptures, they're actually all pointing to me, and I'm the one that gives you salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way we're supposed to be. He is the life we're supposed to live. He is the way, the truth, and He is the truth. All the Scriptures point to Him. So when we study Scripture, it points us to Jesus. It reveals who Jesus is, but more importantly, it's His words to us. It's like we're spending time with Him. You know, when we get saved, there's always this pushback about you can't do anything to save yourself. It is a gift. You're exactly right. The gift from God, grace to save you, is a gift. He does it while you're still a sinner. He doesn't have you clean up before He saves you. He saves you so then you can get cleaned up. He died for you while you were still enemies with Him. It is a complete overflowing of grace. But to deepen a relationship does take effort, and any relationship we want to deepen, we have to spend time and say and have conversations and spend time with somebody to deepen a relationship, to grow in a relationship. That is what this habit will do. If you spend time in Scripture, do it with the goal of seeing and spending time with Jesus. Allowing the Word of God to go out and not come back empty, but to accomplish its goal within you. I'm studying Psalm 119 with a couple of prayer groups I'm in. And this last section of Psalm 119, it's 22 stanzas of 8 verses long. It's the longest chapter in the whole Bible. It's 176 verses. Each verse can stand alone, and each verse fits into the big theme. This last verse that we were studying, verses 97 through 104 of 176. There's one verse in there that says, the Scripture keeps me from sinning. Well, how does that work? Well, as we're reading the Scripture and we're wanting it to transform our character, we're wanting to become more like Jesus, it tells us what God expects from us, but it also changes us to have the desire to do what God expects from us. And then we can see which road or direction, which path we need to take in life to make a decision that glorifies God, that brings peace, that offers forgiveness. And the more we spend time in the Scripture, the more we spend time with Jesus, the more we are transformed to be like Jesus. And it has benefits that overflow. Like we're just spending time with Jesus, but all of a sudden we receive more forgiveness and we're able to give more forgiveness. We're just spending time with Jesus, but it reminds us of the grace He gave us, and then we're inspired to go give grace to other people. We're spending time with Jesus, and we just want to hang out with Jesus, but we're doing it with the goal of becoming like Him, and all of a sudden, we realize we are striving for godliness. It's one of those keystone habits that overflows into all areas of our life. These habits kind of stack on top of one another. We don't get rid of one, and we do them all together to become like Jesus, kind of like a bookcase. They stack. The second one is commit to community. Commit to community. In Matthew chapter 17, it says this, after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There He was transfigured before them. Now, we can go off on that passage for a long time, but I wanted to emphasize that Jesus was with a set of 3 men. Peter, James, and John. They were kind of like His inner circle. We're going to talk more about each one of these habits over the next 6 weeks. So study Scripture, commit to community. But Jesus was involved in a community of 3, a community of 12, a community of 72, a community of 500. He was involved in community. He had committed to being in with other people. And if we develop the habit to be like Christ, we're also going to commit to being with community of people. There is no greater predictor of who you will become in your future than who you're hanging out with right now. And so if you commit to the right community, they will help you and inspire you to continue to grow in your character with Christ. Study Scripture, commit to community, prioritize prayer. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. Now, I don't know when the last time you spent all night praying to God is, but Jesus really prioritized prayer. If we're going to become like him, we're going to need to act like him, we'll need to prioritize prayer as well. We'll need to learn how to pray, and we'll need to learn how to do long prayers. Longer than just, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, that's one less test I'll have to take. We're going to have to pray longer. We're going to have to pray longer than that. What's the meal prayer? Open up, here it comes. What's that one? How's it go? You know the prayer. We all do that prayer when we sit down to eat and we're really hungry. God, thank you for this food. Amen. And we go right into eating. We're going to have to learn how to pray longer because Jesus was committed to long prayers. Well, there's value there. It's one of those keystone habits that overflows into every area of our life. Study Scripture, commit to community, prioritize prayer. We're back to the SCD. The next one is seek solitude. Psalm chapter 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted in heaven and on earth. Okay? Be still and know that I am God. See, we're seeking solitude not to be lonely, but to be alone with God. And this is a habit we need to start incorporating into our life. Seek solitude. The next one is choose church. Choose church. I'm trying to do it by memory. So you can too. If I can do it, you can do it. Choose church. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus says to Peter, Matthew chapter 16, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my ecclesia, my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The gates of hell cannot overcome the church. We need to choose church. We're going to talk about why that is so valuable, but if you choose church, it is one of those keystone habits that overflows into every single area of your life. But it is something that Jesus did as he committed to community. He also chose to do ecclesia, a gathering of people who are called out to go on mission. And he's the one that builds it. When you gather on Sunday morning, you are choosing church. If you're watching online, you are choosing church. And there is a value that you probably don't even know about that is way beyond just sitting in rows listening. But it happens when you choose church. But this is a habit that we need to build into our, remember, train yourself to godliness. Train yourself to be like Jesus. Last one, develop disciples. And this one, it comes full circle. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to them those he wanted, Mark chapter 3 says, and they came to him. He appointed 12, listen, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Say they were with Jesus and they started to become more like Jesus. I kind of giggle thinking, you know, Peter started parting his hair like Jesus parted his hair. I don't know if that happened, but I kind of giggle thinking about it. They spent time with him to be with him so they could become like him. And then he sent them out after he had trained them. See, that's one of our purposes, to become more like Jesus. It's not just to deepen a relationship. It's also to give us our purpose in life, our mission, to go and tell, to lead people into a closer relationship with Christ, and then teach them how to grow up in Jesus. Somebody just asked Jacob a couple weeks ago. He said, okay, you keep telling us to make disciples, but how do we make disciples? Well, you need to tell them we're going to train you in godliness. We're going to SCPSCD you. We're going to help you develop a habit empowered by the Holy Spirit, the habit and the effort you're going to make, and it is an effort. It does take energy to do. You're going to hoist the sail. You're going to spread that thing out, and you're going to wait for God's Holy Spirit to come catch you and carry you toward your goal. We're going to teach you how to do it. We're going to help you study Scripture, commit to community, prioritize prayer, seek solitude, choose church, and develop disciples. Oh, I did it. SCP-SCD. I like to imagine that we would be walking with Jesus hand in hand, but we're the little child, and he loves us and he has forgiven us and we are his child, but all of a sudden he scoops us up in his arms and carries us. We didn't become more saved. We didn't become more loved, but we did draw closer to Christ. And the object of being with Christ is to be changed, to be like him, so that we could, in those moments where heaven needs to meet earth, in those moments where we need to respond with maturity and spiritual grace and forgiveness, we're able to answer that call because we are turning into Jesus. A lot of people don't realize that a bonsai tree, I didn't know this, they're not little trees. I mean, they are little trees. But they have all the DNA within them to grow to a towering height of any tree. But what someone does is they pot them in a little pot to confine their growth. And then they wire their branches and prune them in such a way that they stay small, even to the point where they take it out of the pot and prune the roots so the tree cannot grow. The object is to get the tree that is in miniature to look like a regular tree you would find in nature, full grown, except smaller. I think we have a tendency to not participate and develop the habits that will grow us up in Jesus. And we remain small, pygmy Christians, small disciples of Christ who do not grow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control, because we haven't developed any habits that enable us to grow. Peter, one of Jesus' best friends, he wrote this to us. 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. God has given us everything we need to grow up. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires, he's given us everything we need, and he allows us to participate in his divine nature, the Holy Spirit, so we don't have to stay immature in our faith. He's calling us to grow up. So here's some goals you can set. Some goals you can set, and then you, what are the habits I need to develop to get there? And then make them part of your life so they become keystone habits where it's just like waking up and brushing your teeth. You do it every day. Well, here's some goals you can set. Number one, commit to attend church either online or in person over the next 6 weeks so that we can look in detail and depth at these habits we want to grow in ourselves so that they allow us to be with Jesus. The goal of becoming like him. We're going to do SCP, SCD. 6 more weeks where we look in detail at how to study Scripture, commit to community, prioritize prayer, seek solitude, choose church, and develop disciples. This is how you're going to grow up, and this is how you're going to teach other people to grow up. Number two, make it a goal to spend time with Jesus using one of those habits this week that you haven't really developed. So out of those six habits, which one do you need to build up so you can spend time with Jesus? Make that your goal. But don't make the habit your goal. Make the goal to spend time with Jesus using the habit that he gave us. And see if he doesn't start transforming you from the inside out. To be able to make the call, to be able to make the right decision, to be able to act mature in any situation that arises, even if it's a crisis, you respond with maturity beyond your spiritual years.
We hope you have enjoyed this message. If you need someone to pray with you, talk to, or maybe you just want more information about our church, be sure to fill out a Connect card so we can reach out and help you take your next best step. Thanks again for joining, and we will see you back here next time.